Hey there, everybody. This is Tavo D'Arcy. People used to call me TJ years ago, many decades ago when I first started out in Virginia. And so I'm Tavo now, or T, Miss T, Dr. T, whatever. I'm person like you are, and we have a humans ministry. It's for leadership in the body of Christ, males and females, all colors, all races. I really do know a lot of different cultures. I speak, I have the vibe that sort of translates, and I am more celebratory, rhythmic than most who look like me. But I've had a lot of multicultural life long experiences, and my father, who is a white Baptist pastor from the Deep South, I grew up with no racism. Amazing. In my family. And so I always got the gift. It was grace, not because I had it, you know, earned it, deserved it, had talent, but I had was given God's grace. And to have two parents, a loving family, and I was spared from a lot of hurt until later when I did go through. But I want people to know this is about the Lord, not about me. It's not supposed to be about me and my skin color, my life, my purpose. As a human, it's supposed to be about God, and really we want to collaborate. This is a collaboratory type of ministry, a teaching ministry, edification, also at times reproving, which is not heard of. It falls under the category of Jude, contending for the faith, not being contentious or divisive, but because we find a lot of people in this TV media last age, a lot of people do not have a lot of doctrine that fills in some of the basic core doctrine of teaching because they got into many specialties and showbiz as well. I'm not against showbiz, but I think we need to bring that back down to a level of leadership that is quality, pure in heart, and then make sure people are basically on the same page, white, black, and brown. So we're here today as a resource. We're trying not to convert anybody to our way. We're just trying to, hear from the Lord, share with you. And we are working right now on our tent maker side. I am a speaker, a guest speaker, but I'm also a prophetic musician. I have a lot of joy, a trainer, but I also am a collaborator, like I said, that will help people with counsel and advice for theology, worship, music, practical life, relationships, racism, bias type things as well. Whatever. The Jill of all trades, the human here, has a human's ministry, a heart for people, souls, old and young. I've never been stuck. That's pretty, I guess that's why it's sort of hard. I'm very typical. I'm not stuck in one lane, one rigid lane of religion or control. I'm not stuck in one race. I'm not stuck in one age group. I've taught children. I hang with all ages, intergenerational for the future church, which is right now. This is the future church. And so we're thinking of the ones that need mentored, that would like to hear God for themselves. See, one of the things we do as I reprove, I try to make it not name names or hurt people. But because people have gotten, God's people have gotten really tough, and they're sort of entrenched in their own group, their own non-diverse group usually, then we got to be strong because we have a lot of emotional, spiritual warfare from the false teaching that prays occult prayers. Am I angry? No. But I'm not tolerating it. When you have people out there that are operating out under the law to guard personal turf for their own ministry, their own kind of ministry, and they don't even have the same page which Apostle Paul taught, which is Ephesians 4, community, which our turf and my brand. If you need a name brand, try not to be commercial, but that's how you do it. It's Crossbody Unity, which is an option. Crossbody Unity, Book of Ephesians 4, a transformed, hopeful, spirit-led community with no big eyes, no little U's, no PC, no compromise, but no hate speech either, no condemnation, no accusing people, making those salacious, ambitious TV videos where they monetize and get money to bash fellow preachers, what really galls me. And I do get off on this because I can't believe it. I really can't believe it that they would have, you know, it's now, and I'm going to get onto this. People didn't know a lot, maybe, and they just didn't know it, but now they're tempted to do it, or they do it. They want to do it for their side hustle. I don't know. But I thought, you know, what in the world would Jesus say about accusing a fellow minister, famous or not, black, white, or brown or not? Usually the ones that accuse are not diverse, and they accuse the ones that are very diverse and polite, that never, and those people never do that, word curse them, make videos against them, show the tabloid style to get, and not even make money. So it gets me, ironically, after all the people who word curse other Christians, fellow Christians, you sinner, you prosperity teachers. And then they put monetized YouTubes to get money for bashing the prosperity teachers. They're getting big views. That really think is just outrageous. So I think if you're going to have a way you discuss your differences, it's to be not under the law and not make money like Judas, selling your brother out, your sister out for 30 pieces of silver. At least turn off the video monetization and just put your video if you got to do it. I would say instead go back and watch a few Billy Graham videos that really caused transformation, repentance, didn't revile anybody. You know, I can think of some of the ones they like to show their target, you know, famous, and they show clips of them, very arty. They spend all their energy, their money, their staff, their time consumed with, I guess you'd call it, heresy hunting. What I say is the more heresy hunting these flashy videos do, the more they stir up and provoke rampant hearsay hunting. The hearsay hunters. Oh yeah, itching ears. Hey, itching ears is a prophecy long time ago for now, and we're having it. Many people, though, could mistake it as it's because of those false people. Well, some of it is, but I heard the other day that the way people, you know, the way television, media, you know, flicks, everything, have edited people who've edited in the natural sense, nothing wrong with it, they've made it so it captures our attention, and they shift every 6 seconds to keep our attention going. So the young people, especially raised on cells and media online, that triggers people who are having, and it was in the news last week or so, some of the trouble due to COVID, but also due to media and parenting, is causing people to be unable to sit still in class, cause more trouble, be bored, and so forth. So that is part of the itching ears prophecy, is the media age, which is now, and we're having some natural things. It isn't all evil, but it's just we just didn't know. So I'm not accusing, but what I would ask the tabloid folk is to please evaluate, assess people by their doctrinal fruit, you know, assess them by the fruit, don't accuse them, ridicule, especially, my worst concern is for those that do this, they ridicule and mock and show clips of the Holy Spirit Book of Acts crowds, which is all the ones they attack, but they show them moving in the gifts, praying in the tongue, falling out in the power, and they really concern me for themselves. Are they blaspheming the Holy Spirit? I mean, you figure that out. Is that part of blaspheming the Holy Spirit? By mocking things you don't understand and reviling it, as you know, because this is what's troubling your training, also raising up a bunch of cynics and doubters and mockers in the youth and the bored people who are online, all colors and all, and then you get the copycats. That is a true concern, because now these people who've never seen sound doctrine, only seen it on TV all their lives in their 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s, and younger, they zoom into the target videos where they're laughing and mocking, say they're all evil, all prosperity teachers, all white people, all black people, all Republicans, all liberals, all, that's the general way we see things now. You got to break it down and make it humans. I'm trying to teach humans, not to revile humans, even though they don't believe your way, my way, and I don't believe their way. It is a difference about society and respect for all humans. So what I wanted to say before I said this was that if I say I see a person I've never met, whether they're LGBT, whether they're green, purple, fat, thin, if they have a look about them, if they are anywhere, black, brown, or tan, you don't see them as an it, an object. That is unkind. You don't see them as, oh, it's the sin walking toward me, the black person, the white person, the gay, the trans, all this stuff. The guy on the enemies, yeah, they're all sinners. Well, who isn't a sinner? All of us are. But you have to take away the hysteria, the knee-jerk religious spirit, and instead you say, oh, look, there's a person made in God's image whom he loves, he or she or they or it or whatever loves, and you say, I want to honor God's fellow human made in his image whom he loves with my respect for the value of the office of every human made in God's image. That doesn't mean you agree with them, that you endorse them, that you, you know, have to be buddies with them, but you give the vibe of Christ, which they will read you. They will read you. These are, everybody's smart, you know. They will know if you're some condescending hypocrite, big biased Bible thumper, a fake, a phony, a proud harlot's chaser. You know, the old-timey American psyche, the collective psyche, is basically, because of media now and old movies, is the white, primarily white preacher riding in on his horse, getting off at the old general store up in the mountains or somewhere like that, the Pharisee, and he sees some painted woman, you know, the painted woman's, and he says, look, you're just a cheap harlot. That is the basic emotional, visceral picture of the Christian right now, especially religious right, that kind. So we are trying to bring it down, do away with that, because when you say, oh, look, she's wearing a miniskirt, let's say, you know, the old Harper Valley PTA, shocked, easily shocked, right? Could be black, white, trans, liberal, Republican, Mexican, Asian, your mama, whomever, could be anybody. So you want to say, instead of the it, it could be because you're a misogynist, oh, it's only a woman, because you're a user, and see them as you're, you know, going to use them. Misogynist does the same thing. Racist does the same thing. Tabloid chasers that call people all, they're all, because they look like it, because they look like you, they're all prosperity teachers. Let's go after them. That's so demonic, and so of today. This is the Christian now. We're talking to the Christian. So let's break that down. People pulling off the stereotypes, pulling off the typecasting, put off the name-calling, all the word-cursing, all the hoop-the-roof, fall-to-roll, and say, all right, every one of these people, including me, including you, were hopefully human, Christian or not. All right, you're human. What your choices are, what your values are, what your decisions are, who you mate with, whatever you're going to do, church or not, is going to be really not my business. It's going to be your business with God. And on the last day when it's too late to escape and nobody's there except you, it's going to be your choice now what you're going to decide when he's there with you and nobody else is there. Are you going to be biased? Are you going to make choices? Are you going to dull down? Are you going to do what God says, whether I'm there or your mama's there or anybody's there or not? It's not about me. It's about the Lord. And we got to tell people this more. All right. So you see the saved Christian, And then they're all gathered. They're the offices. Let's say we're the office, you know, we're the leaders. We are the parents. We're the so-and-sos. We are the Bible believers. And instead, you see somebody that you don't like, their style, their look, their weight, their type, or their political party, or their gender, or their name tag that says he, she, them, and it, we, and all of them. Hey, and you look down on them, and they know it. And they know it. They're smart. It's because they read you, especially people who've been through hell before you met them. I have been through, you know, I wasn't raised with hell. I went through hell. But somebody who had been through hell before I met them, forgave them. But I'm saying, after you've been through H, emotional violence, maybe molesting, I was not molested, but people who've been racist, singled out, LGBT, accused and jumped, I've had people, just because I, you know, it's the way I discovered a lot of what I teach now to be passionate about, is that I trigger stereotypes. It's like racism, except it's ornery, misogynist, ambition, cult control. I didn't know that. I didn't want to know it, but I know now. It'll help people. All right. So I realized in Dallas, especially, for 15 years, I found out how giant it is and how you can read it after a while, because God gives you the ability to perceive it. If people are focusing on you, reading you, devaluing you demonically, you will know it, especially I'm a prophet and apostle. But I can do it for that reason, to train people don't do it. And also, if you are having it done to you, get out of their group.
Right.
It's defiling you, God's person. But it made me more aware of how bad it is and how limited it is now for people to be safe to go to some of these churches that are doing this, targeting churches and cult spirit and showbiz systems. All right. So to bring it out of all there and bring it down, the targeting, name calling, sizing people up and writing them off by your haughty culture, we're just going to talk about it, all right, and deliver you. So if you walk up and you see a black person, if you're white, or if you're a black person, you see a white person, then you got to see what's going on in your heart. The Bible teaches us that the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. You can Google it. All right. The mouth speaks what the heart is full of. It also says that the human heart, anybody's heart, after they get to the age of accountability, the heart is wicked. The human heart by nature, without God, his help, is going to be the human heart. Let's see. The heart is evil. Who can know it? Nobody knows what you're going to really think. You know, you can be, I've seen this myself, you know. I thought I was all healed of, you know, repentant of some kind of critical spirit toward somebody. And they showed up and it came up again. So we're going to have that wrestling, you know, it isn't a sin to have it come up. You don't say it or act on it.
Right.
So let's say you have that you're a white person and you see a person from another nation, another tribe, a black person, brown person, mixed race person. They show up. You, it isn't about them. It's about you, honey child. You got to check and say, how do I feel? What am I thinking? You know, what rises up and surprises me in my heart? Do you, and this is the pure in heart person. The pure in heart person says, oh, look, it's a fellow human made in God's image. Oh, yeah, they happen to be brown. You know, I know them or don't know them. Oh, yeah, they're human. So you act accordingly with respect to see, can I trust them? And can they trust you? It goes both ways. If you have issues, real issues, stubborn issues, hidden issues like racism, you'll think, they're no good. They're less than. They're evil. Because you have built that up in your mind, your culture, or whatever. Let me talk about my dad. When I grew up, and I want to honor my parents, because I grew up, and let's say I was about 6 years old when this happened, and so my dad had been in seminary in Kentucky, and I was the only child for 8 years. So I heard in the news on the car radio about civil rights anger, you know, black and white issues of civil rights. But I never heard of them ever say anything against a black person or anybody. I never heard. They were Christians. So I'm going to tell you why that is so wonderful. I honor them. So when we moved to Virginia, my parents felt led by the Holy Spirit to go up to Virginia. They found a church, and they were teachers and pastors. So we went up, all three of us, to visit with my relative, who's a judge in Hanover County. And he was the older gentleman, you know, he and his wife, and they lived sort of out in the country, and they went to confer. My parents went to say, you know, where should we move? Unky, we called him Unky. So they went to talk, and while they were there, I was about 5, 6 years old, I was bored. All the parents were talking business, so I thought, I'll just go out back and explore. I like to explore. So I went out back, they had these bamboo bushes, tall bamboo, and I thought that was interesting. So I went on the other side of the bamboo bushes, and there was this little house, and on the front porch of the little house was the first black person I'd ever seen. And it was a little boy my age, about 6. And when I looked at him, the first thing that came up out of my tiny child's heart was, oh, look, it's a black person. I've heard about him. He looks nice. He looks nice. Why? Because nobody poisoned me. Nobody told me they weren't, that they were subhuman. It works both ways. You know, all colors can do this. So I want to tell you that it's a lot of it, most of it is learned repeatedly in your environment by the authorities. What they're saying, what they're gossiping or not. I never heard gossip. I didn't hear gossip. I just knew it was wrong because I never heard it. And that helps me now, my good, you know, just the great parents and grandparents. The social environment I had growing up helps me discern when it's wrong, it's hurtful, or biased, or whatever, mean, because I was raised so respected and valued, and so is my sister, and relatives were like that. But not everybody was. Hey, our culture is filled with people who weren't, and you can't help it. It's not your fault. You're not sinning because you were raised that way. You are dysfunctional, but you need to know that and repent, and then work on it to be better. So when I also, we lived in a small town outside of Richmond, and they had the church, and so one year, when I was little, my aunt, who was a pastor's wife in Alabama, an Episcopal rector's wife with 4 children, he slipped and fell with another woman, and so we went down, Mom and I went down and drove down to get her and the 4 children, to come up and live with us. When we brought him up, along with her was her nanny, a nurse type, because she was ill. And Helen was African American. She was a black woman, you know. So Helen came and she lived with us when I was like 6 to 8 maybe. And we laughed and we had fun, and I saw her as a human. See, that's it. I see people as humans from way back, and many have not, and many are dysfunctional because they've never known anybody except their own color, white or black, race, all right, or culture. And for some reason, I was raised in a small town where my father's church, we were not country people, But Dad was led to the church out in the country, 4 miles out of town. And so you could say, Dad, my dad was a Piney Woods preacher because they had pine trees around the church. Hey, but it was nothing to anything. It gave me the grassroots feel, which I think is so valuable now. It means everyone's equal. That the grassroots people, the micro ministers, are really needed. Dad was a micro minister, not famous. They called him the Reverend back then. He was a reverend at the Baptist church, you know. But Dad and Mom were the deal behind the scenes. They weren't about the ministry. They weren't popes. They were real people. And I would go with Dad to honor my father into the little town. We'd walk up and I would walk with him, like 8 years old. I would watch my daddy interact with people and respect them. He would think, even if he was on his, you know, busy day, he'd pause, he wouldn't check his watch, he'd respectfully. I remember one lady at the cash register in the grocery store started to talk to him all about her problems while he was checking out the groceries. He just stood there. He's very gifted with patience, you know. So I saw that low-key, high quality, which I value now. And I value it in a mega sense. You can do it mega, and you need to do it better in mega. You need to do it mega, please, at least your people. And then you need to do it in micro, and think micro and mega are equal before the Lord. And set your sights on the real persons, the real human persons. I think right now, with all the bias, the media, the hate speech, all the fuming rumors, you know, and the political stuff, that I think the low-key, honorable, and just servant-leader approach is the way. Don't say a thing about the Lord. Do not say a thing. Do not quote the Bible. Do not say Jesus loves you anymore. That's old move. Unless you respect them. If you do not respect them, throw your mouth, you know, throw the key away of your mouth. But if you respect them, they will know it, or they will not know it. I mean, they're going to know it. They're going to read you. Because I'm a perceiver. I'm a spiritual, you know, spiritual prophet, seer type. But I call it, to make it easier, not so strange, you know. It's a perceiver, discerner gift. God is touched with his. It's a basic gift all these people have from every nation. Dark-skinned, light-skinned, and maybe people who've been through persecution, abuse, damage, racism from another nation where they were targeted, haven't developed more. I know I've gotten more developed because I started knowing that I was being read by, and divined by, some of these cultish groups starting in the 80s or early 90s. I didn't know what that was. Now I know. I'm not mad at them, but I'm letting them know something ain't right, and it's not respectful if you only read somebody, try to get their, you know, juicy gossip on them, find their thirst, and then you never speak to them and love them and respect them, and you never even talk to them because you're so uppity. It really is. It's really bad. I need a course on this. I need to train people how to act when a new visitor comes that doesn't meet their criteria of look, race, style, or vibe. I really do. When I was younger and I was a Christian, you know, in my 20s, I guess, it was before all this teaching, all the media, all the mega, all the micro, you know, it's just starting in that. The charismatic movement was starting. I'm not a charismatic now, but I was. And I remember somebody out in the parking lot at this church where I had my ministry. I started in the 80s teaching the Bible and having the encouraging word ministry back then, you know, back then. So in the days that came after, which was after the 80s, they started teaching the official teaching on doctrines, on prophecy, a word of the Lord. And so part of it had been, and I'm not against that, the command was, don't believe any parking lot prophecies, because people are weird. They really are. And you can get somebody that says they are the prophet, as you know, and they can be really strange or wrong or corrupt or something. Well, back in the day when I was, you know, it was a quality church. Really, my first church where I started in the ministry was very quality. So I had this couple outside in the parking lot one day. I'm just going to say it because it came to my mind. Back in the day, I had this couple, this married couple that were really nice. They weren't strange, and they just prophesied over me. And the husband said, "Tevo, I really feel like the Lord is going to have you speak many languages." Many languages. And that stuck me because guess what? I speak a lot of languages. I can speak patriarchal language, all about it. I can teach prophecy. I can teach music. I can teach Petco cat care. I like kitties. I can teach kids and grown-ups. I can teach, I don't do French. I can speak a little French, but not much. I like languages, but I also know that I can deal with cultures who are not my own very easily because I appreciate and respect differences. I really do like it. I think it's fascinating, basically, the different kinds of Christians, the different kinds of worship, the different kinds of parts of the Holy Spirit anointing that God shares with them. The reason I can teach cross-body unity because I am a doctrinal aficionado, a connoisseur, a maven, which is a connoisseur of theology, just because I've been called to study the body and its beliefs, you know, the leadership since I was 24. Officially, in case nobody knows, and when I was 24, it was after the Jesus People movement. I'd been raised happy as a Baptist, and then I was grateful for the Holy Spirit, and when the praise and worship move started, because I'm not a hymns kind, not traditional. And so the time was that I was there in a church one day when it was a Presbyterian church where we prayed. I've never been a stickler for I'm going to go if it's Baptist, I'm going to go if it's, you know, Presbyterian. I don't think about that, the name brand. I think, are they good teachers? Do they really know their stuff? Am I sent? That's how I do it right now. So we were there before children, and it was when it was like a trickle of the charismatic movement was in that church, and then they had the more traditional, but they were not Calvinists. No, no, no. People know that stuff. I don't even think like that. But they were just sound doctrine, respectful, sound doctrine. So I was sitting there one Sunday, and the Lord just spoke to me. He said, "Tevo," and this is when I was 24, He said, "Tevo, I want you to study the body of Christ in leadership. I want you to know their doctrines, know their pet peeves, their red flag buzzwords. I want you to study their music, and it'll be males and females, spirit-filled, tongue-talking, and not all races. And then one day, in the last days, I'm going to have you build bridges of understanding between them," and that's what this is now. I didn't know that. So that tied in with the, little did I know it, I wasn't thinking like that till now, but that tied in with the many languages, because God has made me, I call it not a literalist, I mean, I'm not a black and white concrete style. I try to pay everyone as unique and say, is this God or not? Is it in the Bible? Is it under the law or not? You know, I'm very flexible, divinely flexible. That means I can understand and tolerate differences, even extreme, if they're nice. I can tolerate different kinds of music and black and different tribes and nations. I really like that. So I didn't know that, but that vibe on me, this call, the DNA on me, that part of me triggers cult spirits. Oh my gosh. It triggers control, big boss control. It's never been, to my knowledge, not someone my same color. It's like we-centric shepherding movement. I call it Western European Levitical Patriarchism. Welp. So, we now understand bias. We understand religion. We understand relationship. We understand how to get along. But I will say that God has done amazing things for me and in me by just normal human people. God had me, by His divine appointment, bump into. And that's how I want to do this. We're trying to make it no membership. Nobody has to be under me. I'm not over anybody. They're not over me. We're trying to make this a flow of divine appointment persons. To say that you are, if you need this vocabulary of crossbody unity, Book of Ephesians 4, it is not about joining it. It's not about saying, oh, I'm, you know, Tavo says I'm under. No. I don't want you to say you're under me. I don't know what you'll do, frankly. From what I see, all the famous preachers and pastors, you don't know what they're doing, and it isn't your fault. It's the people that take your stuff, your name, and use it and trade on it to make their own success or whatever. Not all do that say that, but hey, it's a cautionary tale. Don't let them say they're under you. But you can say, you can be sent. So we treasure and value the common people. And I treasure and value the media famous too, and the famous Pat, and the local Pat, and the apostles and prophets. I treasure them. But I'm very, very, very extremely careful where I fellowship right now, because the last 15 to 20 years has been the worst discovery of dysfunction. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5, 1 Timothy 6, 5, Friendly Fire Fellowships, and praying against occult, false teaching, using false authority. I got this strong because of that, to deal with it. Because you do not know what in some of this kind of groups that are out there now, big, you do not know what is in the doctrinal bathwaters, though they look good. The doctrinal bathwaters, and this is why I have a college coming up, Apostolic Teammate U, the hard way. Okay. Discernment comes by reason of use. That's what this is. All right. But we're grateful. I mean, so many good things we can sell. I wouldn't be here had it not been for many, like, faith movement. The joy of the Lord, my parents, the charismatics, until I went to the deep south and got out because of the false teaching in there. Not all, but not all are not. So we're trying to get it's a new day. We need to really reevaluate what we're doing, why we're doing it, Christian minister. What are we doing it for? Is it really God or is it for us? That's a big one right there. And my goal is to try to humanize the targeting transhumanism. Now, that's not transgender. This is trans dehumanization of the New World Order in the church. It's in the church. It's the dysfunction of, I guess, success. Ornery success. Yeah, we've made it big. You know, it's just one more offering person. They're not our type. They're not our gender. They're not, they're over the hill. They're too young. Whatever it is. It is that racist. Let's say it's all like racism. If I can feel it as a visitor that I'm being read by 3 to 5 to 10 in certain, I mean, really, it's gotten that bad. If I know it, and it is disconcerting, it is not comforting, it's not like the Lord, it has no joy either, usually no joy, then I know something is off with them. It is these. So this is why we're trying to administrate, or really minister, some doctrinal reproving, and let everyone research their heart, their attitude while we're in ministry. Do you really think we need big boyism at this time in life, when the world is at the desperate stages that it is? Do we need the big hero? You know, we need normal people to be mantle, to rise up and be themselves and be the real deal out in public, behind the scenes. We don't need more pharmacia. What is pharmacia? Pharmacia is one word for witchcraft, which is also in the word drugs. Pharmacia and witchcraft are false counterfeits of the real, the supernatural. If you have drugs, you know, you can have drugs and it can take a hold of you, prescription or non, because you are hurting. The real reason people are hurting You know, they could have natural ailments. They could have psychological or emotional wounds. They want, you know, to have some kind of empathy or some kind of touch, which will spare them from the pain. So there's not, you're not condemning drugs. We're saying, why are we doing it in the church in a harmful way when we're not doing it in the right way? Why is it we're making the Holy Spirit elite and using control, conniving, false teaching, and false authority, witchcraft, demonic witchcraft, occult in these churches like that, to get our way, to keep control of the cult spirit? Why? Those are dysfunctional. 2 Timothy 3:1 through 5, dysfunctional. Read the scripture and see the character fruit that Paul says in our land, in the churches, and out of the churches. But I'm not talking out of the churches. Most of the people who are doing that out of the church have never met one single real deep Christian. Never. That's why I'm after the church. I'm not after the, hey, those people have never met anybody that loved them or respected them. Or their mama accused them and said, you know, you're going to burn in hell because you're lazy and you're not going to church. You know, all this stuff. Nobody's perfect. But we got to bring down the tone and make it like accepting and respecting. Treat them like a peer. Until proven otherwise, you can't truly trust everybody, but you can respect them from the outgo, and they will know that. I think just sowing seeds of respect in ministry will reap well. Sowing seeds not to get funding out of it. No, no, no. It might, but I'm not doing it for that. Sowing seeds for the Lord to reap back for the harvest. For the lost, for people who will not ever have a day off in the hot, harmful, hellish place ever unless they meet the Lord, you know. There is a holy perspective that is really lost in this, you know, with all this fanning of false doctrine, big shot, our own cause, our turf. Not Jesus' cause. Hey, if you had Jesus